Hi, welcome to Pitt Town Church. We are so glad that you're listening to this podcast. We pray that this sermon encourages you in your walk with Jesus. If you would like more information, check out our website at www.pitttownchurch.com.
Good morning, all. We're going to have the Bible reading now. So if you'd like to get your Bibles out or your devices, we're going to read from Luke chapter 5. So Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. I'll just give you a minute to find it. Okay. While he was in one of the towns, a man was there who had leprosy all over him. He saw Jesus, fell face down and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Reaching out his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, "I am willing, be made clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer what Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. But the news about him spread even more, and large crowds would come together to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. Yet he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed.
Thanks, Janelle. Thanks, everyone. It is good to be with you this morning. How good was last weekend celebrating Jesus, as what Peter just prayed? And over these next couple of weeks, today and also next Sunday, we kind of jump back, I guess, to that series we had at the start of the term called Remembering Jesus. And over these holidays, we're just going to think again and we're going to remember him again. And I'm excited to be diving into this passage in Luke. Perhaps it's a familiar one. Perhaps it's one we've heard many times before, but I pray that as we hear that we would sit under God's word and God would show us again, maybe for the first time, who Jesus is. Let me pray. And then we'll dive in. Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning your spirit would continue to prepare our hearts to see Jesus. And I pray that you would show us more of him. Help us to remember Jesus. And I pray all these things in his precious, precious name. Amen. I remember it was probably when I was little. So it wasn't like I was never really that little, but when I was littler, me and my family, we went on a holiday. And as you do, we went to the holiday house. And of course, whenever you go to a holiday house, you've got to check out all the rooms. You've got to check out what's what. And I checked out the most important room of the house first up. I checked the bathroom and made sure that everything was working. And I went to the bathroom and did what I needed to do. And as I was coming out of the bathroom, I reached out my hand and I, you know, went to turn the doorknob. And as I did, something unexpected happened. The door wouldn't budge. It wouldn't open. And I'm just thinking, this is kind of strange. This is weird. Maybe I'm like a little bit half asleep. And so I go again to try to open it. It's not moving. It's not budging. And I realized that I had like, you know, flick the lock, and I'm like, great one, Chris. Why do you lock the door on a family holiday? Anyway, I lock the door and I start knocking on the door and I remember shouting out, or just, it was probably just a little yell, "Is anyone there?" And it probably felt like hours, but it was probably just a few minutes. And I remember Dad coming and Dad just going, "What have you done, buddy? Like, what are you doing?" And he's trying to like shove the door. He had no idea what he was doing. He's trying to do something. But then I remember vividly in my head, Dad just said, "Dunno." And then I remember hearing his footsteps, walk away. And at that moment, I'm like, "Dad, what are you doing? Like, if you don't know, I don't know." And then I remember knocking on the door, shouting out again, "Is anyone there?" And look, I'm here standing to you today. So I did get out of that bathroom, good news. But I'm sure there have been times in our life where we've felt like that, where we've felt kind of a little bit deserted, or we've felt alone. Maybe that's you. Maybe for you, you go to school and their like friendship groups are just messy. And so when the bell rings for lunch, in your mind, you don't know who you're going to sit next to at lunchtime. Maybe that's you and you just feel like you're alone. Or maybe you're feeling alone because you've got kids, but at the moment they don't like love talking to you that much. And you kind of like, they might grunt at you as they're walking to the fridge. And you're kind of like, I feel alone. Or maybe you remember a friend that you used to be really good friends with, but you're not anymore because of distance. Or you remember a family member or a friend who you don't see anymore because they've moved or they've passed away and you feel isolated. I don't know, maybe that's how you feel this morning. And I think sometimes when we feel like that, it can feel as if God has us at arm's length. That God, are you far away? God just seems really distant. I reckon if anyone felt alone, it would have been the guy that we meet in our passage this morning in Luke chapter 5. The only thing we know about this man, we don't know his name, but we know his medical condition, I guess. It says it there in Luke chapter 5, verse 12. In the Holman, it says that he had a serious skin condition. The ESV kind of goes a little bit further and says that he was full of leprosy. That just means like this skin condition called leprosy that he had. It was really, really advanced. Now, what we know about leprosy is that it made the body physically disfigured. Recent research, particularly by a guy called Dr. Paul Brandt, has showed that the root of this disease was that it attacked the nervous system. So what that means was that the body's warning system is destroyed. So what makes it really bad and really horrible is someone doesn't feel it when they walk across hot coals or when animals come and gnaw at their feet when they're sleeping. And so someone with leprosy just gets mutilated. It's really, to see someone like that, it would be really grotesque. It would be really gruesome and bloody. Dr. Brand calls this disease the painless hell. So this guy in the passage, he's not in a great physical state, but I think socially he's almost doing worse. Because what we know about people who had leprosy in 30 AD, roughly in Israel, is that things weren't great for them socially. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus, we read this. Leviticus 13, verses 45 to 46. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes and let their hair be unkept. And you just think, that doesn't sound too bad. That just sounds like a modern-day boy band, like torn jeans, unkept hair. That sounds all right. But why do they do that? Like, and it says to cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. They're doing that to show others that they're not clean, that they're unclean. And that meant that they were ceremonially unclean. They couldn't come and worship. They couldn't come and gather with the people of God. They couldn't do it. And verse 46 goes on and it says, as long as they have the disease, they remain unclean and they must live alone and they must live outside the camp. I mean, we kind of experienced what quarantine was like last year, but this is like super, super strict quarantine. They've got to live alone. So that means they had to live away from their families and they couldn't do lots of the normal social things, like have a job. So that means most of them were beggars and they had to live outside the city. And so that means they just couldn't be near people. It's hard to imagine what it would have been like. You just have to look disheveled all the time. When you see people, you have to yell out and scream, I am unclean. So you know and I know that I'm not right, that I'm unclean. Feeling numb yet a deep, deep pain. This guy in Luke 5 would have felt pretty alone and forgotten. And if that wasn't bad enough, it was thought that if you had leprosy back then, that that was through personal sin that they had committed, like a personal sin. However, Jesus shows us how physical illnesses isn't linked to personal sin. Most of the time it isn't, and we see that in John chapter 8. However, what we have, even though the leper, he wasn't more sinful than anyone else, we know that, but what we have with him is, I guess, a parable of sin. Because what we see outwardly, visibly with him is kind of a sign, I guess, of the spiritual corruption of sin. Because we talk about sin a lot. It's a bit of a churchy word, but I think it's we can kind of miss the weight of it and what it actually is. Because in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6, it says that sin is like this disease that infects us from like the soles of our feet to the tops of our heads. It just covers everything and infects our wills, our desires, our everything. It makes us numb to the things of God. And sin, ultimately, sin is us rejecting God. So that means sin has cut us off from God, from his people. And although we still walk and breathe, sin ultimately leaves us like the walking dead. Because Josephus, a Jewish historian, he said that lepers, they were treated like they were dead people. But sin, that makes us spiritually dead. Sin is the thing that truly isolates. And so firstly, from this passage, what we see is we meet this outcast in verse 12, but we read on and it says this, well, while he was in one of the towns, a man was there who had a serious skin disease all over him, and he saw Jesus and he fell face down and he begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So in this scene, we have someone new enter, and it's Jesus. And this man, he only has to catch sight of Jesus. And it says that he falls to the ground and he begs. And it seems really odd, and that seems strange. Why does he do that? Well, it must be because he's either seen or he's heard Jesus do incredible things. And so what he does, he falls to the ground and he begs, and he starts by saying, Lord. Perhaps he's thinking, hey, could this actually be the Messiah that the Old Testament had been talking about? Could this be God's chosen king? He begs and he says, Lord, but then he continues and he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He doesn't say, Lord, if you're willing, you might be able to make me clean, or you probably will be able to make me clean, or like 50-50, I'll take a gamble. Like, he's pretty convinced that Jesus can do it. Like, he has faith. That's incredible. The thing he's not sure about is whether Jesus actually wants to. The question he has is whether Jesus is willing to do it. Growing up, as I have said many times before, I was always the person that always got injured. And there was one time when I was trying to impress Helen when we were dating, and Helen and her brothers took me canyoning, and they asked me, Chris, have you been abseiling before? And I said, yes, it'll be fine. And so they say, great, abseil down that waterfall. And I just go, all right, here's the time to impress Helen. The next minute, I slice open my finger, slice the tendons open. Not good. The things you will do to impress someone who you're keen on. Anyway, I remember going home and like mum and dad are just horrified with my sliced hand. And I could have gone to a lot of people to kind of help. But the person that I chose to go to was a hand specialist. Because I'm thinking they're probably the person that has got the skills to kind of sew those tendons back together to give me some movement back in that finger. And I was pretty sure that the hand specialist, like, they would probably want to if I gave them enough money, maybe. Or if I knew the right one. I don't know. But, like, I went to the hand specialist because I thought that they would be able to help. But this man, he comes to the master physician, and the question he has is Jesus willing? He thinks he's able. Is he willing? Most people at this point, if a man with leprosy or anyone with leprosy were approaching you, you'd run in the other direction. Perhaps if you saw someone with leprosy approaching you, you'd get aggressive and you'd start to yell and you'd kind of remind them what's what. But what do we see Jesus do here in verse 13? It's incredible. Verse 13 says this, reaching out his hand, he touched him. Knowing what we know, like, this is mind-blowing. This is probably the first human contact this guy had for years. And Jesus doesn't run away. He actually moves towards the man. And he does the unthinkable by touching the untouchable. I just try to put yourself in that guy's shoes. First, we meet the outcast, but secondly, we see Jesus' heart on display. And as Jesus touches this man, he then says, I am willing, be made clean. And immediately the disease left him. See, as Jesus speaks, like, he shows his heart, he shows his compassion, and straight away it says the leprosy left him. I mean, limbs would be forming, skin would be being restored, and his once numb limbs, I mean, he's getting feeling again. But not only that, I don't know if you noticed it here, but Jesus, he's just kind of changed up the whole ceremonial system right here. This is crazy, because instead of Jesus becoming unclean because, you know, he's made contact, this guy now becomes clean. Like, he's just kind of reversed things just in that moment. The cleanness comes from Jesus, just from one encounter. And then he says some things in verses 14, which I just think is a bit odd, so we're going to look at them now. And then he says, after all this happens, he then ordered him to tell no one. For me, that seems strange. We're going to come back to that. Hold on to that. And then he said, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer what Moses prescribed for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Like, as we said before, this leprosy, it made this guy ceremonially unclean. So that means he couldn't participate in worship in the religious community, and the only way back in for someone with leprosy is if they were cured somehow, they had to go to a priest. And the priest, they would inspect them to see that everything was fine, and if the priest agreed, that they would start a ceremony that would be elaborate, and it would last 8 days. And it would start outside the camp. And it would start by two birds being brought, and one would be killed. And the blood of one bird would be sprinkled upon the person with leprosy 7 times, and they would be pronounced clean. And then the other bird would be released, and there'd be all these other things happening over 8 days so that this person who was cured could now, like, re-enter normal life. They could be restored. So Jesus, he's already pronounced him clean, though. He's already done that. But he says to this guy, go and do all that. Go to the priest so that you can re-enter life. Like, he's bringing that full restoration. But then I want to come back to what he said at the start of verse 14. He says, don't tell anyone. That's really interesting. Why does he say that? Because if Jesus was just a miracle worker, if his mission was just to physically heal people, then surely he'd want his fame to just spread. That would make sense.
But why does he say, don't tell anyone?
Well, it's often said in John's gospel that his hour had not come. His hour had not come. Firstly, we meet this outcast. Secondly, we see Jesus' heart on display. But thirdly, here, we're getting a glimpse into Jesus' bigger and wider plan. See, Jesus' heart was for this individual, but it was also wider and it was bigger. Jesus' heart was actually for the lost. See, Jesus' mission in coming to earth, it's summed up in Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to do what? To seek and to save the lost. And just like the leprosy, I guess, as I said, is a physical parable of sin, what we see Jesus doing is, I guess, a parable of the gospel. Those three words in verse 13 sum up the gospel when it says that Jesus touched him. That one physical historical act, it shows us something deeper. Because if Jesus really was the Lord, the Messiah, then that means he's the one that Daniel talked about in Daniel 7. That means he's the one who was high and lofty and exalted, the one on the throne. But this one has compassion. Mark, in Mark's account of this story, Mark 1 verse 30, 41 says that this great lofty Messiah was moved with compassion when he saw the man with leprosy. An old guy called Richard Sibbs, an old pastor, said that when Christ saw the people in misery, his bowels yearned within him. See, Jesus, he has compassion on this guy, this individual, but what we see is that his compassion is wider and it's bigger. And he didn't just have compassion on this one individual. Jesus has compassion on the lost, for people in sin. See, just like when I hear any of my kids cry in pain, I rush to them, and like I could beat Usain Bolt in any 100-meter sprint if Ruby or Hadi are crying, because I'm moved toward them. And that's what Jesus does. Christ, he saw us in our sin. He saw our state. He saw that it leads to death. And Jesus, the Messiah, he left heaven's throne. He left that lofty throne and he came closer. And he came closer. He was made man and he took on flesh, coming closer and closer and closer. And just like Jesus in that parable, just as he touched the disease, Jesus on the cross bore our sin and he took it. And he was crucified outside the camp. And his blood was spilt and it was better than any bird or animal. And because of our sin, we actually deserve to be cut off from God, but Jesus was cut off for us so that we could be made clean, so that our lives could be restored, so that we could have eternal life. See, when we come back to this passage in chapter 5, when it says, when Jesus said, don't tell anyone, he's giving us a glimpse of his bigger plan, his compassion for the lost. He didn't want this guy spreading the news of his healing because it wasn't the time for his death. The hour hadn't come. But when the hour did come, the great physician would bring restoration to anyone who would come to him like a beggar in faith. And so reading this passage, how are we to respond? Well, there's only one thing that we can do, is to come to him in faith. To come to him as we are. I mean, you may have been here and you may have checked us out last week at Easter. And if that is you, I just want to say a big welcome. It is great to have you back with us.
And you may have heard lots of religious things and you may have been to lots of religious events. The invitation for you is to come to Jesus. And maybe you might think, well, that's not really for me because I know my track record and I know what I've done and I kind of assume that Jesus wouldn't want anything to do with me. Well, this passage says, no. Jesus, he's able to save and he's also willing to save. He wants to. Would you come to him? Come. And I know there's lots of us who have and we call him our Lord and our Saviour. But in life, we still do feel overwhelmed at times. At times, we feel alone. At times, things are really hard. At times, it can be hard to get into our Bible. At times, it can just feel like we're going through the motions. I pray that you as well would come to Jesus. Because my big prayer, the thing that I've been praying for as we've been going through this passage and as I'm preaching today, is that God would remind us of the heart of Jesus. I think it's so easy for us to forget our Savior and to forget who he is and what he's like. But I pray that today that we would remember and we would be reminded of his heart. That as we came to him in faith, his heart swelled with compassion for us and he didn't run away, but he moved towards us. And so I pray that as we remember that, we would come to him. We'd come to him maybe for the first time. We'd come to him as we are. We'd come to him in prayer. And we would know that when we come to him, John 6, verse 37 says, "The one who comes to me, I will never cast out." Will we come to him? Let me pray as the band comes up. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. Lord, it's so easy just as Christians to forget our Savior and what he is like. Lord, we know that Jesus, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the judge. But also he is full of mercy and grace and compassion to those who come to him in faith. And now is the time for us to do that. Father, I pray that you'd help us to remember Jesus and his heart, that he didn't move away from us, but he moved towards us. Help us remember, and will we come to him? In Jesus' name, amen.